the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is the last part of Psalm 69, verses 34 to 36. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also, the descendants of his servant shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, man-made religions are all alike. They may appear to be different, but all have this in common, that their god or deity is man-made. Whatever the nature of the idol, even if it is human reason itself, is a god set up by man. A young man on his sickbed asked a pastor who visited him, "Do you really believe in the God who is revealed to men in the Bible? Do you really believe the account of Genesis describing God's creation of the world? Do you believe in the redemption by Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the Gospels?" Upon being assured by the pastor that he actually, surely, and firmly believed that the Bible to be God's inerrant and inspired word, and that he gratefully accepted with a firm faith the salvation offered by God through Jesus Christ, the young man retorted very sharply, "Oh, surely you do not." The pastor then asked him, "Well, what do you believe?" The young man replied, "If I believe in any God at all, my God is reason." And then he embarked on a rather lengthy talk on why he had cast aside the Bible, which had been taught to him by a godly mother, a Christian teacher, and a Bible-loving pastor. This young man is just one of many people who, to satisfy their own vanity, refuse on the one hand to accept the Saviour who suffered and died for the sins of the world, and foolishly idolise on the other hand their own mind and set up their own notions as superior to God's revealed word. But why are we so fortunate? Why are we so blessed? Why are we so privileged? Why has the marvellous blessing of being God's children and heirs of eternal life been bestowed upon us? We must simply answer, by the grace of God, I am what I am. How to the statement of the great Apostle Paul, as written in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. With the hymnist, we sing, as we just sang before, O the height of Jesus' love, higher than the heavens above, deeper than the depths of sea, lasting as eternity. Love that found me, wondrous thought, found me when I sought him not. It is with this mind that the psalmist brings to a conclusion this remarkable prophecy in Psalm 69. He sees a congregation of believers joining in a great hymn of praise to God for the glorious redemption brought by Christ Jesus. God grant us his grace, that we may be filled with the spirit of thankfulness as we study the believers' praise of the Lord their Redeemer. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, we have a brief overview of the text. Psalm 69 begins as it ends, with a prayer for deliverance. But the closing prayer differs from the opening prayer in that it passes beyond the suffering to the deliverance and the final victory. The Messiah promises to praise God with heartfelt thanksgiving when the victory has been won. This closing prayer moves beyond the loneliness of the Messiah during his suffering to the joy he shared with those who become one with him through faith. The Messiah's victory is not for him alone. It is for his people who will share the joy of his victory in the eternal Zion. His victory is our victory because we are among the spiritually poor who have seen what he has done and rejoice in it. We join our victorious Saviour in praising God's name with thanksgiving. Today is Palm Sunday, also a day of praise, where we see Jesus riding on a colt, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. He is riding toward Jerusalem, and we hear the people praising God, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So secondly, the believers praise the Lord their Redeemer. Why they praise him? Our text begins, "Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them." Again and again, the creatures urge to sing praises to God. Man especially, God's crown of creation, has every reason to praise his maker. Most of all, the Christian, the child of God, should feel impelled to break forth in praise and thanksgiving. "For God," says the text, "will save Zion." Zion is his church, which comprises all believers, no matter who and where they are. They constitute the kingdom which Christ established on earth, and among them, yes, in them, God dwells. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This kingdom is to be established and expanded by the preaching of the gospel. Our text says, God will build the cities of Judah. By the preaching of the law, he brings sinners to the realization of their sinful and hopeless condition. And by the preaching of the gospel, he works faith in their hearts and thus gathers them into one fold of the Good Shepherd. It is God's good and gracious will that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's earnest desire that the world be brought into his everlasting kingdom. We as Christians are members of this kingdom. By his love, grace and mercy, we are numbered among the elect of God. Without any merit or worthiness on our part, the Father makes us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Us poor sinful mortals, who because of our many sins and transgressions are deserving of God's wrath and punishment, both in time and eternity, God has exalted and made heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ of eternal salvation. Although by nature we are children of wrath, and even though our righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of God, he has clothed us in the raiment of Christ's righteousness, so that we can appear spotlessly pure and white before his throne. Oh, what a privilege, what a blessing, what an honour and distinction has come upon us by the love and mercy of our gracious Father in heaven. Should not then the heart of every one of us be filled to overflow with gratitude and gladness, with happiness and thanksgiving, that God has blessed us so much? During the Christmas and Advent season, we heard how the wonderful birth of our Lord and Saviour caused the celestial choir, the shepherds in the field, Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Hannah, to sing praises and glory to God. This attitude, this spirit of thankfulness for God's unspeakable gift, should also move us into action. But alas, how little of this real spirit is shown in the lives of many people. What was the chief purpose of the Christmas celebration as observed by the masses? Was it to magnify God's name? Was it to bless God and praise his name for his unfathomable love of a sin-sick world? With many people, yes. But with the great majority of people, this is not the motive of their celebration. Much of their celebrating was done for self-glorification and self-satisfaction. A similar remark could be made with regard to the manner in which Lent is observed by many people. Gratitude, praise and thanksgiving can be born in a human heart only through learning to understand and believing the gospel. In connection with Lent, or the Passion of Christ, there are two questions in particular on which our attention must consistently be focused. The one is, why did Christ suffer? And the other question, what did he accomplish by his passion? We all know the answer. From the greatness of his love, Jesus suffered and died for us. By dying in our stead, he saved us. Believing this, one cannot boast. Faith excludes all boasting or glory in one's own works or merits. On the other hand, the sinner who comes to this knowledge complies with the scripture text. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He will begin to insist, all praise to God, all thanks to God alone be the glory. It is evident then that Christ's redemption is a source of the praise and thanksgiving of believers. Does it move you to thank and praise him? Oh, let us confess with the Apostle Paul, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who were going to believe on him for everlasting life. And then we shall also, with all our heart, join in his doxology. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone be wise, be honour and glory for ever and ever. So secondly, the believer's praise of the Lord their Redeemer, how they praise him. The believer's praise and thanksgiving will of course find expression in words of praise and thanksgiving. They will continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. They will say, with the psalmist in our text, that heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. They will say, O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. In Psalm 96, the psalmist writes, O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Yes, Christians will show their gratitude to the Lord God for his grace and love by confessing his name. Our Saviour says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I'll also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I'll also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The apostles and early Christians boldly confessed Christ regardless of the consequences. In spite of imprisonment, of stripes, of persecution, yet even in spite of death, they preached and confessed Christ Jesus and him crucified. In this way we too must show our gratitude to God before the world. We must not be ashamed to march under his banners, to wear the garb of the Christian, and to let it be known that we are his own children. They will also be interested in mission work, so much so that one of the reasons why they call on heaven and earth to praise the Lord is that God will build the cities of Judah. This means that God himself will see to the expanding of his kingdom and bless the work of missions. Although we are filled with joy and happiness when we think of the great blessings God bestows on us, our timid hearts nevertheless quake with anxious fear as we contemplate the difficulties, the temptations, and the snares that beset us in this evil world. Sometimes we wish we could pray with the Apostle Paul, having a desire to depart and be with Christ so that we might be removed from the dangers that threaten us and to be with Christ in heaven, which is far better. But God, until he sees fit to take us to himself in heaven, leaves us here on earth for a purpose, and that is to bring salvation to our fellow men. He has use for his Christians in the building of his kingdom. They are to be gospel carriers. They are to diffuse the soul-saving gospel throughout the world. Surely, this should not be to us an irksome task or a burden. On the contrary, it should be to us a wonderful privilege and a great honour. God might have used the blessed angels for this purpose, who are always willing and glad to carry out God's commands and wishes. However, in his wisdom and his grace, God has given us the marvellous privilege of bringing to our fellow neighbours far and near the gospel of peace, the glad tidings of good things. Finally, Christians will praise the Lord their God by a godly walk and conduct before all the world. Their Christianity, the loving conviction that it is, will pervade their thinking and their doing, their manner of life and all their dealings with their fellow men. Instead of being conformed to the world, their conduct will be so distinctly Christian that the ungodly will recognise the great differences between the children of God and the children of the world. Believers will hallow God's name, not only by adhering to God's word in its truth and purity, but also by leading, as the children of God, a holy life according to it, to us. So help us to do this, Heavenly Father. May God, in his mercy and grace, always move us to praise him, and may be pleased to accept our humble praises, until we finally, in the glorious mansions above, sing perfectly the praises of our blessed Redeemer, saying, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.